The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. on Sunday, April 5th, 2020, and thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro. A special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. I am alone in the chat room for the moment, but perhaps some of you will be joining us shortly. So let's continue. Tonight's show, as all shows, contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we'll start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, and then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 15. Functionally, due to work stoppages in keeping with COVID-19 quarantine, the final editing on the season finale, Episode 16, was unable to be completed in time for next Sunday, 4/12. And so as such, tonight's penultimate episode, and it's a shame Joan's not here because she loves to hate that word as much as I do. Tonight's penultimate episode will temporarily become the de facto season 10 finale and until later this year. The Walking Dead World Beyond has also been postponed from its debut next weekend, as has season 6 of Fear. We will keep our followers informed as we get updates on the fate of the various respective series. We know they will come back. They've got to figure stuff out because there's not just shooting. There's editing and all kinds of extra production stuff in post that they have to do, and they didn't get a chance to get it done before everybody had to start being apart. Feel free to call in and pass the time with us. You can speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 at any time tonight, but especially between now and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat freely on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, feeling a little shy, you can go to our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. We usually give the links for that on our Facebook page and my social media. You can also ask questions while we're talking if in the chat room. You can just keep merrily typing away. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Okay, check in the chat room. Still alone. Joan, don't leave me here with all these people. Okay. Tonight's episode is entitled The Tower. The official AMC synopsis is: the communities prepare for the final battle of the Whisperer War. Meanwhile, Eugene's group encounters Princess. As we typically do, I have additional synopses for you guys. I only have one this week. Often I've had three or four. But this one's good enough. So Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 15, The Tower, First Look Photos by Cameron Bolomono at comicbook.com. He is one of their regular writers about this show. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. So Cameron says, First Look Photos from The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 15, The Tower offer a peek at what's to come in the last episode of the season until the postponed season finale airs later this year. Sunday's episode, last weekend, 14, Look at the Flowers, ended with Beta now wearing a mask made from the flesh of Leader Alpha after she was murdered by Negan, marching on to Alexandria where the Whisperer second in command will unleash Alpha's Walker Horde. I have to stop here with a discussion point. I was pretty clear from what Judith said to Michonne that the majority of the giant horde that Alpha had been wielding was destroyed in the battle at Hilltop. And I kind of take umbrage at the concept that a grieving, wandering around Beta can magically pull another horde that from the promos could fill the streets of Alexandria magically out of his ass so quickly. I object to that. I don't know if that's going to be addressed or explained later, so I hope they get to that. I'm double checking the chat room. Joan's not here to agree with me, but I'm sure she would. Okay, let's get back to Cameron's article. The community has seemingly been abandoned, but a sneak peek clip from the episode reveals at least Aaron and Alden are still inside the now overrun Alexandria. They're up in the windmill tower. And this is visible in footage in several of the trailers. Quote, "We will see what our people have been doing in the aftermath of the Hilltop War." And that's a very good point, Angela, because we haven't really seen what's gone on over there. In the aftermath of the Hilltop War, now that some of the truth has come out, showrunner Angela Kang told Entertainment Weekly of the upcoming episode. Continuing, "You'll see our clever folks and their plans to finish out this conflict," end quote. Elsewhere, Eugene and Hilltop co-leaders Yumiko and King Ezekiel continue their trip onto Charleston, West Virginia. And I've got to stop again, discussion point, big beef. I know where they're supposed to be in Alexandria and all these other locations. I have family very close to Charleston, West Virginia. I was literally just down there a month ago. Princess and her storyline, I know we don't normally discuss the comics, but this is very, very public. They have not said on the TV show that she's in Pittsburgh. It is common knowledge that in the comics she's in Pittsburgh. And I am from her accent, it sounds like she is from the North Pennsylvania, bordering on Jersey area, let us just say, which I know Pittsburgh's on the other side of the state, it's west, but nevertheless, you got the accents going. They're not bound for Ohio, which is a comic thing. They are bound for Charleston, West Virginia, which is very, 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 very south. It is almost at the bottom of Virginia, like Roanoke and getting towards Bristol. So there isn't any call whatsoever for them to go 4 hours northwest, which is where Pittsburgh is from the D.C. area. So anyhow, I object to all this kind of stuff. There's a continuity problem with somebody who clearly doesn't understand the geography of this extended area. So I hope they resolve that part as well. Okay, having said that, according to the storyline, they're heading to Charleston, which is down 81, where Eugene is due to face-to-face with radio contact Stephanie, who will be played by actress Margot Bingham, for the first time. Before they can proceed, they'll first have to determine if Princess, played by Paolo Lazzaro, a gun-wielding lone survivor, is friend or foe. Quote, "We'll also see this group on their own journey with Ezekiel, Yumiko, Eugene, and as they figure out how to deal with the new character that they've met, and they've got their own adventures," Kang said. But it all crashes towards this epic conflict now that Beta's taken leadership of the Whisperers. What does that mean for our people now? And so it'll be exciting. I hope people will tune in and watch it, end quote. Photos from the episode preview a tough talk between Negan and Lydia after her mother's death, Judith's reunion with Negan in a hideout away from Alexandria, as well as the long-awaited return of Daryl's dog. So there are some photos here. That is all of the conversation on that, and I don't have any further synopses for you guys. I'm still alone. I hope Joan is not missing our show tonight. That would be sad. So anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and proceed with our notes as best as I can. It's 8:40. We've got about 20 minutes of chat before we go dark. So tonight's episode was written by Kevin Diebolt and Julia Ruckman and directed by Michael Satrazemis. So it's profile time. Thank you, guys. Kevin Diebolt, born March 4th, 77. I've got to add him to the birthday roster. Sorry about that, Kevin. Happy belated. In Buffalo, New York. Former Teen of the Week for the Lancaster New Era. He has a Bachelor of Arts in Drama from Ithaca College. According to his Twitter bio, New York City, New Jersey, occasionally L.A., Father, Lollygagger, Telescribe, The Walking Dead, hashtag, Copper, Kevin, probably saves the world, Borgia, I collect spores, molds, and fungus, WGAE, which is Writers Guild of America East. I had to go look it up. He has been on the advisory board for the Michael Collier Memorial Fellowship in Screenwriting through the Writers Guild Initiative since 2017. He volunteers for the Made in New York Writers Room Program, a fellowship program to support professional writers of diverse backgrounds in New York City, through the Writers Guild of America East and the New York City Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. His career has primarily centered on the television industry, leading to extensive experience with writing, editing, producing, and researching, as well as film prep and production. Kevin has miscellaneous crew credits as a writing assistant for Ed, 2004, assistant to executive producer for The Bedford Diaries, 2006, and assistant to executive producer on the TV movie M.O.N.Y. in 2007. He was script cord for the series The Philanthropist in 2009. He has three of the writer's credits in IMDb besides The Walking Dead, staff writer for Borgia, 2011, executive story editor for Copper, BBC America, in 2013, and executive story editor for Kevin Probably Saves the World in 2018. He's a writer, executive story editor for Havana Quartet, a new drama series developed for Starz in 2016 and 17. I do not know if that's still going or what's the story with that. Diebolt has been a co-producer for The Walking Dead for all of season 10, and tonight is his second time writing for the franchise. The first was season 10, episode 6, Bonds. All right, let's do the next profile, which is Julia Ruckman. I have a note that says The Big Bounce, but I have forgotten what that reference is to. And she's at freshyarn.com. I think that's a blog of hers or something, or a personal page. After graduating from Williams College, Julia Ruckman moved to New York to write television. Her first pilot went into development hell at a marginally well-known network. She followed that real-life industry experience with a few freelance writing jobs and then moved to Los Angeles against her better judgment. She still lives in L.A., where she battles road rage, meditates, and writes many, many television scripts, which are sure to win her Emmys one day. I think they will. Julia is currently writing a pilot for a producer. That's been in her bio for a while, but it's been currently for quite some time. Okay, Julia. Trying to live up to the writing fellowship she was just awarded, and can be seen performing her stories at various reading series around town. This was written, obviously, before the pandemic, but I'm sure that's what she's doing when we're not locked down. She thanks you for reading this, Fresh Yarn for publishing it, and apologizes for writing about herself in the third person. We forgive you. Julia has 5 writer's credits prior to Walking Dead, The Assistants, 2009, The Troop, 2009, Covert Affairs, 2013, American Odyssey, 2015, and The Sun, 2019. She has 3 director's credits prior to Walking Dead, Covert Affairs, 2013, American Odyssey, 2015, and The Sun, 2019. Aside from The Walking Dead, Ruckman has 3 other producer's credits for Covert Affairs, American Odyssey, and The Sun. She has been a co-executive producer for all of season 10 of The Walking Dead as well. Tonight is her third episode written, pardon my hiccups, for the franchise, the first being season 10, episode 8, The World Before, the second being season 10, episode 11, Morningstar. Last, and absolutely not least, Satro. Michael Edison Satrozemus, nicknamed Satro, is known for his work with The Walking Dead, the movie The Crow, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. He's done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf, directed an episode of Stranger Things, and many more. Mike has been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Guts, season 1, episode 2 in 2010. So he's been with us almost the whole time, minus one episode, really. He has been second unit director of photography for 3 episodes, up to season 3, episode 14, Prey, in 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 17, ending with Monster, Season 8, Episode 3. He has directed 17 prior episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14. And I have to get out my favorite wave. I don't get to do it, and all of a sudden I've had so many chances. So, yay! Oh, and I'm going to have another wave because Joan has finally made it. Hooray for Joan. Thank you. I'm testing to see if she can hear me okay. But let's go ahead and continue. We're doing Satchro's bio at the moment since he's director tonight. So he's done 17 prior episodes of Walking Dead, starting with The Grove and up to Season 10, Episode 11, Morningstar. So he was working with Julia Ruckman. He's also directed 5 episodes of Fear, all in Season 4, ending with the Season 4 finale, I Lose Myself. Directing tonight's episode of Walking Dead Classic will be his 18th The Walking Dead director's credit and 22nd overall within the franchise as a whole. Let's give all of these guys big applause for working on the show. Thank you. And it's fine, Joan. I'm just glad you're here. I was worried if walkers had eaten you. I'm kidding. I'm just making sure everybody's okay because we're all in a lot of chaos right now. All right, so it's 8:47 and it's trivia time. Tonight is the 146th episode of The Walking Dead ever. Co-starring tonight, they didn't list anybody for that. Also starring, and if you feel like looking something up, Joan, I am curious about what is the distinction between someone who is a co-star and someone who is listed as, quote, also starring. If you can shed some light on that at some point in the chat room, that would be fabulous. I know that also starring is a lesser billing, but I don't get the nature of the relationship between them all. So, also starring tonight, Alex Gambatti as Jules, who's an Oceanside resident, female, a recent interest of Luke's. Anthony Lopez as Oscar, who's a prominent Hilltop character and soldier. Gustavo Gomez as Marco, who's a Hilltop young adult, supply runner and soldier. Philip Forna as a Whisperer, Whisperer number 18, first appearances tonight, helping Beta. Stefan Rollins as Rifle Whisperer, who is Whisperer 16, first appearance tonight, helping Beta. Louis Zehner, Z-E-H-N-E-R, and I want to make sure you guys get his name right, and you'll find out right now. This is interesting, because this credit was on Wikia, which is one of my favorite sources for info. They get all the good dirt ahead of time, without being spoilery. They're very adept at this. And they got this listing, which is not on IMDb at all. So I'm dying of curiosity how they found this out, but we'll have to keep our eyes out for this. So Louis Zehner is Talking Charred Hero Walker. That is the title of his character, and it does not appear anywhere on the internet. I cannot find it. So who he is, interestingly, he's an assistant director who worked on Deadpool in 2014 and 16. These are like sequel movies. There's no other info on this particular character. The actor has played several walkers, including Bernie, who's the lost, eventually dead member of Magna's group back in Season 9, Episode 7, Stradivarius, who was found and put down by Michonne. You know, it's the guy that Magna was upset about that she had lost from the group, and he had been turned, and they went back to find him, and they found him and put him down. That was also played by Louis Zehner. But so tonight, he's different. He's Talking Charred Hero Walker. And I don't know what that means as far as talking. I'm dying to know what the hell this means. I guess we'll find out. Okay, uncredited working on the show tonight, Stephanie McIntyre is a walker. I did get that from IMDb, not from Wikia. And Seven is back as Daryl's dog. Seven is the name of the dog actor who plays Dog. So let's give them all a big yay. Big yay for Dog being back. Woof, woof. Somebody let the dog out. Thank you. And as of this episode, Samantha Morton, who played Alpha, has been removed from the opening credits. We are sorry to see that. But good story and excellent, excellent work, Samantha. Thank you so much. So trivia for last episode. Look at the flowers. This was the first appearance of Princess, a.k.a. Juanita Sanchez. First and last appearance of Rufus. Last Appearance of Alpha, Zombified and Hallucination. The title of the episode, Look at the Flowers, is a callback to Carol's last words to Lizzie Samuels before shooting her in the grove. As this is the 14th episode of Season 10, Carol also states it's the 14th episode of Season 4. And I fussed about this because Carol doesn't say a goddamn thing, because that would be Melissa McBride, because that's breaking the fourth wall, people. So they still have that bad note in there. But it is, if you ignore that error, it is kind of interesting that they're both the 14th episode of their respective things. It is also a reference to Alpha telling Carol to just look at the flowers like you're supposed to, while urging Carol to allow a walker to kill her. Alpha's line, I'm sorry you're mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. I'm sorry. We found out why she was doing that. It is a reference to Lizzie's last words before Carol shot her. It is revealed that Carol and Negan's deal was that he would bring Carol Alpha's severed head, and she would help him make a new life amongst the communities. Carol places Alpha's severed head on a pike on the border like she did to the pike victims in the calm before. And I guess like she did must mean to Alpha, because Carol didn't do that. That's poor wording there. A poster at the abandoned Grand Hotel identifies Beta as a famous musician going by the stage name Half Moon, who appears to have had a history with the hotel. According to the poster, Half Moon was called both the most prolific recording artist of our lifetime and a true American genius. This is the first appearance of the Grand Hotel location, which is in Maryland somewhere. During the outbreak, the hotel became either the home for at least two people, or they didn't finish that sentence right either. They got some writing problems this week. The hotel became the home for at least two people. However, both perished. One from an axe to the head. We don't know about the other. Neither reanimated, and their decaying corpses were left in the hotel restaurant where they died. Jerry calls Ezekiel by name for once, which clearly shocks Ezekiel. This episode marks the first time. Oh, this is super, super interesting. Remember, we were like, what the fuck is going on with Ezekiel's horse? Listen up. This episode marks the first time in the series walkers caused the death of an animal, namely Ezekiel's horse, via infection rather than devouring them. So now we know what's up with the leg bite. The horse was infected and dying, and they put him down so he didn't reanimate. So we still don't know if he would have. And that's a very interesting thing to put out there. You know, we've got smart walkers now that realize that Alpha is not a real walker. And now we've got the ability for animals to contract whatever this is. Not sure what's up. The little science changing over the years, some evolution going on. The Talking Dead for this episode, again, done through video conferencing, and this is last week, covered both Look at the Flowers and Walk with Us. I actually didn't stay till the very end. I was a little distracted, which had no Talking Dead that week due to the coronavirus pandemic. They weren't prepared yet, weren't doing things from home. So I got to go back now to last week's Talking Dead and see if Tom Payne was on and Samantha Morton. So I'm not really sure. All right, 8:54, let's see what I can get through on trivia. There is no also starring from last week. Uncredited is Micah King as Ezra, Autumn Azul as Aaliyah, and Maya and Delaney Timber as Miriam. They're Jerry's kids, and I've spazzed. I've forgotten his wife's name. Jerry's kids. And Coalition Soldiers, Jimmy McAfee, Chuck Hollywood, Laura Kelly, and Tia Davis. Deaths from last week. Rufus, who was the whisperer who called Beta the new Alpha. Alex Livinali as Shotgun Whisperer, Whisperer 15. Not the same as the one tonight. First and last appearance, she was shot by Negan. Alpha is a zombified head. Two unnamed Grand Hotel survivors. Two unnamed whisperers in the Negan ambush, and one horse, Ezekiel's. And goofs, errors, bloopers, none named, none found. All right, let me check the chat room. Oh, and Joan's like, well, shit, that's new. Animals being turned. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Or we don't know if it was turned, but it was killed from the bites. Like the bites themselves, if it was just an animal biting it, The horse could have made it. But the bike got super infected. Okay. Oh, Joan has seen. They said he wasn't. And I assume that means Tom Payne was not on Talking Dead. She was, but only as a pre-recorded video off screen, as they do with actors not on the couch from time to time. Yes, they probably had that prepared, intending to go on the air. And then, you know, screeching halt. Yes, she is referring to Tom Payne. So I'm really sad because I really feel like Tom has not gotten some of the love that Jesus really deserves. And I don't mean that in the religious sense. I mean the character, which I'm sure you all know. I really feel like he got short shrift because his character was kind of forced out because of weirdness with Gregory, Xander Berkeley, and Maggie leaving. And it all got super weird, and I feel bad for the actors. So anyhow, let me see what I can finish up. It's 8:56. I got 4 minutes. So let's do cast birthdays. Now, because as of tonight, and Joan, it is both the penultimate episode, but it is also temporarily the season finale, as I'm sure you've heard by now. So because tonight we are uncertain as to the plans for new episodes, I don't know what's going to happen to this time slot on AMC either. I wanted to do all the rest of the April birthdays tonight, and when we resume, we'll pick up in May. Or this is negotiable depending on what else happens. So April birthdays coming up. Lauren Ridloff, Connie, the deaf woman in Magna's group, April 6th. She's from Chicago. Michael Rooker, who played Merle, also April 6th, Jasper, Alabama. Benedict Samuel, who was Owen, the leader of the Wolves, April 15th. Hamilton, Victoria, Australia. Brandon Fobbs, Terry Michonne's other pet, April 19th, Washington, D.C., local boy, woo-woo. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who played Negan, plays Negan, sorry, don't mean anything by that, Jeffrey. April 22nd from Seattle. Anne Mahoney, who played Olivia from Alexandria. April 24th, Rochester, New York. Austin Nichols, who played Spencer. April 24th, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jordan Woods Robinson. Eric Raleigh, Alexandria, Aaron's boyfriend. April 24th, Bybee, Tennessee. Jeffrey DeMunn, who played Dale. April 25th, Buffalo, New York. And Austin Emilio, who played Dwight, plays Dwight. Again, with the not meaning anything by that. I'm just really tired. April 27th, and he is from Austin, Texas. So let's give everybody big birthday love. Thank you, guys. All right, it's 8:58. We do have time. Let's try to do featured music. There was some from last episode that was super relevant. Two songs, The Turtle and the Monkey, written by Emily Kenney, who played Beth. And it was played by a pretend band called Half Moon on a record player. It's actually sung. The audio we're hearing is Ryan Hurst actually singing. Also, the song I Went to the Well by Half Moon, Ryan Hurst is actually also singing. That's when Beta's on the balcony of the Grand Hotel. So those two songs are there. We are getting ready to go. Interesting face mask he's got with partly alpha skin, except you notice on her left temple where he stabbed her in the head, you can't see the knife mark. It's a continuity problem going on. Okay, Better Call Saul, brief trailer, but I know that we're going to go live in a hot second. So I'm going to let you guys go, and I will see you at the first commercial break. Okay, it's 9:04, and we are at the first break. I am going to start with a 5.75. Joan is starting with a 6. Let me go back and grab the last couple of comments that we didn't get to before we went silent. Joan says, I did read an interview with Angela Kang somewhere in which she said it wouldn't take long to finish the finale once everyone could get back to work. So should air within a couple of weeks after that point, fortunately. And she also pointed out, Austin Emilio is from Austin, Texas. His parents weren't very original, were they? I don't know if that's a stage name or what's going on. That's something that we can Google at some point and find out. Either, you know, they're being cute or maybe he took it because of where he's from. I don't know. She said, I had pointed out what I feel is a continuity problem because Beta is wearing Alpha's face under his original mask where he tore it. And on her left temple where he put a knife in, you cannot see any knife marks. Now, we could just be off by a couple inches. Maybe it's a bad camera angle. I don't know. But I just feel like it's a continuity problem to show that looking nice and smooth. So she says either continuity problem or really good patchwork by Beta. And you know what? Either one's totally possible. And she says, God, I love Paulo, princess. After not seeing another living soul for over a year, I'd probably be a little loco too. Yeah, I think we all would. Look how loco we're all being, and we can still talk to each other, but we have to stay in the house. Okay, so we got a 6 and a 5.75. Let me go back to my notes real quick. It is 9.06, so I'm going to keep an eye on when we go back. So, Talking Dead. I failed you guys. I do not know who's on Talking Dead. I did not get that looked up. I got down a rabbit hole somehow. So, you know, maybe that is something I can look up for you guys during the next break. Talking Dead. Yes. Tonight, and we'll go look that up. Let me see. AMC. Oh, well, okay. Thank you, Twitter. So tonight, it's a home edition. And from their couches, we've got Josh McDermott, Carrie Payton, and Princess, Paola Princess Lazaro. So we've got most of tonight's crew except for Yumiko. Oh, so that's our Talking Dead people. All right. And we're not back yet. So let's see what other notes I have for you guys. Of course, the actual season finale, episode 16, A Certain Doom. The writers are Corey Reed, Jim Barnes, and Eli Jornet. Directors Greg Nicotero. Sometime in 2020 to be announced. It will air, and we'll get back together then. And we have a Sandra Oh trailer, so I don't know if we're going to have time to get. I want to do the other upcoming shows on NDB Media, and we may or may not have time for that. It's awful long. I'm getting really torn here. Killing Eve. If we go back, yeah, we're back. I'll shut up. I'll tell you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, it's 9:15, and we're at break number two. Jonah's commented, boy, where's that rocket launcher now? And now Jonah and I are together at 6.5 for this last segment. Really kind of digging that. Let me go ahead and wrap up the rest of what I was going to say here. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media. I want to give some love to our fellow shows. Tomorrow night, the 6th, Monday Night in America, Census 2020, and Community and COVID-19 at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Noriega returns to discuss the ongoing census for the United States, shelter in place, and a lot of stuff that is happening in the world around us. Tuesday the 7th at 7 p.m. is Fandom Access. Weekend Review, join the terrific trio of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they dive into another night of TV. Thursday the 9th, Travel Itch Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Join Jonelle Modis, M-O-D-Y-S, of Visit Lauderdale on Thursday, April 9th, where she talks about her famous South Florida destination on Travel Itch Radio. Listen as Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts interview Jonelle, a previous guest in a previous destination. Find out what's going on in Broward County and what's planned. Saturday, the 11th, next weekend, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Sports Talk with the Guys, Saturday morning extravaganza. The Monday morning quarterbacks are live on Saturday morning. No one is safe while we troll the digital airwaves. Join us as we discuss the latest news in the world of sports and review the events of the past week. And then the following Wednesday, the 15th of April, the old tax day. I'm jumping ahead a wee bit just because we don't know when we'll be back. Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, Episode 86, Part 2, Flirting with Disaster, Coping Under Crisis. Join host Casey Shapiro, yes, me, and Dr. Stephen Mathis, ID, a.k.a. the Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. So those are the other shows in our stable coming up. I have discussion links, and we've actually already gotten down that far. So I'm going to pull that up for you guys, but I kind of feel like we're going to go back in a minute, so I don't know that I'll get to them right away. But I can kind of give you an intro of what I've got coming up for you in a hot minute. We have a Sprint commercial. The Walking Dead reveals a clever connection between Beta and Maggie from comicbook.com and Cameron Bolomono. Oh, we do have a commercial, so maybe I can get into it. Okay, let's dive in real quick. When The Walking Dead revealed Whisperer Beta was once famed country music singer Half Moon, in Season 10, Episode 14, Look at the Flowers, it might also have formed a connection with a Season 8 episode set years before Beta and Whisperer leader Alpha menaced the Hilltop. In Season 8, Episode 12, The Key, Hilltop leader Maggie, Michonne, Enid, and Rosita encountered Georgie, a mysterious traveling benefactor offering the farming colony a key to the future. The key was described by Georgie as a book of medieval human achievement, so we may have a future from our past. We're back now. Oh, no, we're not. That's an extra commercial. It just looks a little weird for a minute. So let me continue. Sorry about that. In exchange for a sizable proportion of Georgie's food stores and her key to the future, containing handwritten plans for windmills, watermills, silos, hand-drawn schematics, guides to refining grain, creating lumber, and aqueducts, Georgie wanted records. With the only condition being the records must be music, no spoken word. Build this place up, Georgie said when accepting several crates filled with records. And we are back now. I'll tell you the rest at break number four. All right, 9:26. And let's see, one, two. We're actually at break number three. I've really grossly miscounted. I'm so sorry. Okay, so I'm going to go with 6.5. I'm going to stay at 6.5. And it's not that I'm not enjoying it further. I don't want to get too crazy with the upping and the upping. Okay. So, going back to Daryl and Judith. Judith is up to something running around in the woods, but I haven't figured it out quite yet. And she doesn't want anybody to know about it. I don't know if she's, like, trying to get a hold of Michonne or what. Jonas mentioned you can kind of see a knife cut briefly, but it looks patched in Beta's mask. And I still feel like it's an error. And she says, yeah, it should be clearer. I also continue to object to Beta gathering such a large horde quite so damn fast. And Jonas says, I had a feeling it was a minefield as soon as she started counting. So Jones is 6.75. I'm staying at 6.5 for a hot minute at 9:27. So I have read you everything, and now we're on discussion links. So let me go back to the article that I was reading you guys from comicbook.com, the last little bit. More than 6 years later, after Georgie's plans for Hilltop come to fruition, new Hilltop resident Magna was shown listening to a Half Moon album in Season 10, Episode 5, When It Always Is. As pointed out by @GrimesLegacy on Twitter, because Hilltop owns one of Beta's records, it's likely Maggie handed over other Half Moon albums to Georgie when fulfilling her end of the deal in Key. So the tweet from Grimes Legacy is, who would imagine that Hilltop could have a Half Moon album and that Maggie probably gave Georgie one of the Half Moon albums without imagining that he would be one of Hilltop's biggest enemies. Pardon my hiccups. So the likelihood of this possibility increases when considering Half Moon's level of fame and success. After one of his songs from Half Moon Live in Concert was heard in Look at the Flowers, a closer look at the album revealed pre-apocalypse Beta was described as a true American genius and the most prolific recording artist of our lifetime. Maggie left Hilltop with Young Sung Herschel and Georgie sometime during the six-year period that followed the presumed death of Rick Grimes, going away with her someplace far to assist her with a new community. During that time, Carol had written Maggie unanswered letters about the Whisperers who were responsible for the deaths of key Hilltop members Enid, Tara, and Jesus. And that is the last of the commentary on this. Okay. So let me pull up the next article that I've got for you guys. Also from comicbook.com, probably from Cameron. I'll tell you in a hot second. The Walking Dead's Jeffrey Dean Morgan explains why Negan didn't kill Alpha sooner, and it is by Cameron Bolomano. All right. We're still in a commercial break, so let me see if I can start on this. And he says, quote, what took you so damn long? Carol asked Negan when he delivered Whisperer's leader's Alpha's decapitated and zombified head, upholding his end of the deal, granting him release from jail, and finally avenging Carol's murdered son, Henry. Negan's mission to infiltrate the Whisperers and gain Alpha's trust took him just 3 days. Yeah, I had a bit of a shock when he said that. I didn't think that was real either. During which he became the first Whisperer to be intimate with Alpha before receiving his own mask made from Walker flesh. Carol ordered Negan to, quote, do it fast, but standing in the way was Alpha's big and super creepy bodyguard, Beta. Quote, I don't know that he wasn't afraid of Beta. I think he thought Beta was super creepy, Morgan said on Talking Dead. People ask me, why didn't Negan kill Alpha earlier? As opposed to the sock scene, for instance, why didn't he kill her then? I think in Negan's mind, Beta was always behind the next tree. He was lurking and creeping out, and I think Negan was fully aware of that. All right. It looks like we are back. I'll hush. I'll see you guys at break number four. 9:37, and I think we're at break number four. I keep losing track. Early senility is really hard. I'm at 6:75. We'll see what Joan's at in a hot second. Her theory on Judith wandering around is that Judith is just rattled and missing Michonne, but trying not to show it. It's easy to forget she's still just a kid with as responsible as she acts. By the way, if you're doing TWD rewards, Joan was kind enough to get us the password. It is guardians, plural. And Joan also said, wow, Negan should be careful what he asks for. Oh, as far as Lydia being honest, and Joan is staying at 6:75 as well. Okay, so let me go back and keep going in the article I was reading, you guys. So, Okay, we're talking about Jeffrey Dean Morgan's commentary on Negan and Beta. And said, it wasn't so much fear as it was knowing, quote, this dude is just off, Morgan added. And he is. He's just off. And he doesn't have a very good sense of humor, obviously. And Negan has a problem with that, but I love Ryan. Beta has since laid Alpha to rest, having discovered her head displayed on a spike at the Whisperer border. Now wearing a new mask made from Alpha's face, well, partially, Beta and his Walker army invade Alexandria and the tower, where Negan will confront Alpha's daughter Lydia over the death of her mother. After taking out Alpha and gaining a small level of trust with Daryl over saving him from stray Whisperers, the long-jailed former savior leader hopes to open up a new chapter in the Book of Negan. Quote, my feeling is it's exactly what he said to Carol. He wants to go through the doors of Alexandria and start a new life, Morgan said. At least that's as far as he's gotten. I don't think he's had a whole lot of time to think about this, what the next chapter is, and the details of that. I think he is hoping to get out of that jail. He's been in that jail for 8-10 years and been out for 3 days and living amongst the Whisperers. I think the next chapter would be a shower. And from there, he wants to figure out what the next move is and how he rebuilds his life. Okay, and that is the end of that commentary. And then I had one more article for you guys. And I will go ahead and pull that up because we might actually be able to squeeze this in. Kind of like the old days when I wasn't backed up with like 20 articles that are now weeks out of date. All right, at 9:40, and this last article, also by Cameron Bolomono, you prolific mofo. At comicbook.com, The Walking Dead answers if Maggie knows about Alpha and the Whisperers. And it's a little bit to the comment in the other article, but it's a bit more detail. So The Walking Dead answers whether or not Maggie, the currently away leader of the Hilltop Colony, is aware of Alpha and her Whisperers. In Sunday's 10:14 Look at the Flowers, a lone Carol wrestles with past traumas that manifest as a ghostly Alpha who returns to haunt Carol after she conspired with Negan to kill the Whisperer leader. When Alpha taunts Carol about her past, even evoking the memory of her abusive ex-husband Ed, by calling Carol slurs not heard in 10 years, Alpha references the months Carol spent away at sea to distance herself from grief over murdered son Henry. There was no peace on the ocean. You were thinking about me, wondering where I went, looking for a sign, the imagined Alpha hisses. You even wrote that letter to Maggie about me. Give it up, Carol. If I know the truth, so do you. All right. There's a Doom commercial for Xbox. All right. I don't think we're going back yet. Nope. Still commercials. Okay. Maggie, who is off with Hilltop benefactor Georgie, assisting her with a new community someplace far away, was mentioned earlier this season when Carol first returned from sea in the season 10 premiere Lines We Cross, taking place months after Henry and Hilltop's residents, Jesus, Tara, and Enid, were murdered by the Whisperers. I think it was more than that. That seems like not enough people. Anyhow, we sailed down south to this dock where Oceanside's been picking up letters from Maggie, Carol told Daryl. There wasn't anything there. It hasn't been for a while. The survivors earlier tried to contact Maggie about the deaths of her friends in the season 9 finale, The Storm, after Alpha's attack against the community has left 10 dead. Everyone is still reeling between Jesus, Terra, and the others we lost, said Yumiko, at the time among the newest Hilltop residents, and still nothing from Maggie, asked Alexandria leader Michonne, who had a falling out with Maggie before she left Virginia with son Herschel. We are back at Fleetwood Drive. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, 9:49. Jones at 7. I'm jumping up to 7:25 because I'm jumping up and down in my seat. And Jonah said, Princess is nuttier than squirrel poo, but I love that she seems to have a method to her madness. Yeah. I'm not necessarily sure that she's completely gone, but she definitely is not adjusting to being around actual people all that well. Pardon my hiccups. I'm so sorry. I really don't know what to make of her. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes down. All right. Let me go back to the other article I was reading you guys. Okay. Quote, the council sent another letter, Yumiko answered, but we haven't heard anything back. The sporadic correspondence is expected to be addressed when Maggie makes her return in either 10:15 the tower or 10:16 a certain doom. I was under the impression that Maggie would return on 10:16. And I know they had no way to reshoot any of that to get her in tonight, so I don't expect her back tonight. Quote, I mean, she's coming back. That's so funny, but I can't really say anything about her coming back because it's just too spoilery. But you know, we're really happy that Lauren's coming back, showrunner Angela Kang recently told Deadline. We had always been planning to have her come back somehow, and we were working on timing, like, you know, as we've been saying. It's all finally working out. And we're really excited that she's back, and we're deep in planning her next story for season 11. And that is the end of that article. And that is the end of articles on stuff that I had for you guys to read. The only other thing is I've got a Q&A, one of the standard Q&As AMC does with Pollyanna McIntosh, who did Jadis / Anne. But that's all I've really got prepped for tonight. Let me see if Joan's got anything to add in the chat room. Not yet. All right, let me see. We're not back. We're in the commercial. So just kind of hanging around, and I'm not sure what show this is a trailer for. I'm waiting for them to get to the end so I can tell you. Defending Jacob on Apple TV Plus, the app. Oh, here's Chris Hardwick. Actually, I'm going to put on the volume and leave it on.
McDermott, we have Paolo Lazaro, who plays Princess, and we also have Kari Payton and his... I'm going to say formal dinner robe, which I'm very excited to talk about when we're on the show. Dognet coming at you next soon.
All right. So there was Chris Hardwick announcing people on Talking Dead. Paolo Lazaro, instead of Lazaro. Apologies for butchering your name earlier. I'm sorry, sweetie. Okay. That's about all I've really got. Joan, do you have anything that you want to add? Do we have a chance to look up... what were we going to Google earlier? Oh, yeah. Whether Austin Emilio is his real name. Let me try to take a look at that real quick. Austin Emilio. Come on, Google. Stop freezing. Why are you being such a butt face? Let me look on Wikipedia. In the Wikipeds, what does it say about you, friend? Hello, friend. Nope. He's definitely from Austin, and there does not seem to be any mention that that's not his real name. So I don't really know what's going on with that. Used to be doing a skateboarding thing. Apparently that was huge. He was an avid skateboarder, filming a part for a movie, The Devil's Toy, in 2011. And blah, blah, a whole bunch of other stuff. Apparently, he was skateboarding rather recently, 2017. I've known this for quite a while. And it's interesting, when he's not made up for Walking Dead, he looks quite a bit younger. It's kind of shocking, actually. he was doing Dwight, but Dwight has all his scars and everything else, and it really, really ages him. So, anyhow, we are finally back. I'll see you guys at the end. Okay, it's 10:02. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. I'm ending on 7:05. And so is Joan, apparently. So, poor Lydia. And Princess is apparently going on the journey. And I actually wonder why Judith did not tell Daryl that Michonne is going because she thinks she saw something about Rick. I expected her to be like why she didn't want to bring it up. So I don't know about that. But Joan says, thank God for Uncle Daryl. Judith needs somebody to stick around, and Daryl gets her like no one else. Yeah, pretty much. So anyhow, that's all I have for you guys this evening. I very much appreciate you being here. I'm going to let you go so that you can go and see what's going on with the Talking Dead. And I don't know what's going on after this yet. Please watch our Facebook page. And I will try to let you all know what's going to happen in this slot as soon as I find out. Thank you very much for joining us. Y'all stay safe. Have a good evening.